Father of your feet, Rajasa with the dust, Grihan the home, Naha of us, Grihamedinam who are attached to household ritual duties, Yat by wish, Sauchena purification. Ano Tribyanti will become satisfied. Pitara, my forefathers, Sa, together with Aknaya, the sacrificial fires, Suraha, and the demigods. Translation. I am simply an ordinary householder attached to ritual sacrifices. So please purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. By that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires, and the demigods will all become satisfied. Om Magyana Dimandasya Gananjana Slakaya Shaksamunitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasatalaya Srimati Bhaktivinanda Swami Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pichayane Nimise Sunyavani Pasachade Shatarine. So Akrura is taking a position of an ordinary householder. This is a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. He never considered himself to be very, very advanced. You always think how fallen I am, just like Krishna Das Kaviraj. You say I'm worse than this worm in the stew. But that's not just to try to impress anyone that, wow, he's so humble, he's making such a statement. But actually they feel that way, that I'm so fallen, I'm devoid of any devotion. That's the interesting thing about someone who is very advanced. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, when you realize Krishna and how great Krishna is and how small we are. One can only be proud of his abilities if he's not aware of the greatness of Krishna. But the more we know about the greatness of Krishna or realize the greatness of Krishna, the more humble we become. It's just like someone with a little bit of wealth. He may flaunt his wealth. But then in front of someone who is a multi-billionaire or whatever, immediately become very small. He realized, ooh. So the pure devotee of the Lord, the more advanced you realize the greatness of Krishna, you become very small and actually feel, I'm so unworthy. I'm so fallen. Even if it's maybe just tiny, tiny little bit of contamination, where you think, oh, I'm so fallen. So he's taking a position of an ordinary householder. And as an ordinary householder, one is required to perform so many sacrifices. They perform the panchapashana, different yajnas, to purify the household. Because as a householder, one inadvertently will commit so many sinful activities and create so many sinful reactions. Just like when we are cooking, you cook, and you're killing so many entities in the process of cooking. Or even when we are sweeping the floor, nowadays they vacuum the floor, they may suck in so many entities there, some ants or whatever. It's quite unavoidable. So in order to purify themselves or to free themselves from those reactions, they perform different kind of sacrifices every day. the householders. In this way, they try to keep themselves free from reactions. But we all know that it can be quite hopeless task, because there's so many things that we do that we're not even aware of. When we breathe, as we are breathing in, we are committing killing. Just by our very existence, killing is going on. How can we avoid? How can we avoid? Sometimes people ask why we do not eat meat. You say we don't want to kill. They say, but when you are eating vegetables, you're vegetarian, you're also killing. It may be, but the killing is minimal. Because most of the fruits, like the fruit trees, you don't have to cut down the tree to get the fruits. Or the vegetables, when they grow to maturity, the plant die and leave the vegetables for us to eat. So it's very, very rare that we have to kill in order to eat. But still, it's there. So that's why Prabhupada said to be just a vegetarian is not enough. So one time, one person was coming to see Prabhupada and he was quite proud that I'm a vegetarian. And Prabhupada said, so what? Even the monkeys are vegetarians. But what do they do all day? So we are not just vegetarian. We are prasadanins. Yeah, we offer vegetarian food cooked with love and devotion, offered to Krishna, and then it becomes prasadam. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also that food that is not offered in sacrifice is considered sin. We do not offer the food in sacrifice and we are eating sin. So therefore yajna has to be performed. And in some people in India, they keep a chart. They try to keep a balance sheet of the punya and the papa, the pious activities and the impious activities. They try to create a balance. Oh, I've done so much pious activity, now I can engage in some sense gratification. Oh, my sense gratification is going up, I better increase my... In this way, they try to keep a balance. But it's futile, because as we said earlier, you cannot really keep track. Now, when we walk on the street, how are you going to keep track of how many entities you're killing as we step on the road or step on the street? So they may keep a check and try like that, but it's a pretty hopeless situation. So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yagyata kamano yatra lokayam kamabandana tat atam kamakauntya mukta sangha samachara. He said, yes, sacrifices has to be performed, but sacrifices has to be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So by performing sacrifices for the satisfaction of Vishnu, one can become free from the bondage of material existence. So although in the Vedas, so much recommendation is there for performing these sacrifices, to form that kind of worship and so many khanda, kama khanda activities. Activities just for good sense gratification. Still, it is implicating. It implicates us in the material world. That's why Srila Prabhupada often used the word the stringent law of nature. Material nature is very stringent. Even though we try to avoid, but still you get entangled in it. The more we act in this material world, the more we become entangled in the most of material nature. And just like the other evening, I think it was Friday evening, maybe Friday evening. My daughter came home with a classmate. She was just living around the corner. She was asking, he said, what do you do? What does it mean? What is Hare Krishna? So my daughter called me, Eddie, come over, please. Explain. She's going to explain. So I was talking to her, I was preaching to her. Some basic thing about Krishna consciousness. And basically described to her about the soul. And the nature of the soul is Satchit Ananda. And we are always searching for happiness. But We can't find the happiness in the material world. And in fact, people who try to enjoy the material world, the more and they try, the more frustrated they become. In fact, people in the Western world, they are more frustrated than people in the so-called third world country. In the Western world, we tend to make judgment on others according to our own yardstick. That, well, our GNP, gross national product, is so high. Our average income per house per person a year is this much, and the third world they're earning so little, so they must be suffering because their income is so low. But it always amazes me, even when I was Sweden, Denmark. Sweden and Denmark is considered like one of the most progressive, has the highest standard of living in the world. Even people in Southern Europe, they always look up. Wow, not Scandinavia, Northern Europe. They look up to them. And when I come to India, especially when I go on the parikrama, we walk through the villages, and you see these villages coming out, big smile. You don't see that kind of big smile on the face anywhere in the world, anywhere in the West. That big natural smile with the eyes just shining, so much bright, so shining. And it's very natural. It's not one of those smiles that you see on the aeroplane by the stewardess and all that. Yes, sir. They have to practically put a pin there to keep it up. They haven't slept the whole night, you know. Especially go on an overnight train, and then the next morning they're supposed to. But it's such a natural smell. It's the joy they feel, natural living, a simple house, just make of thatched hut, just cow dung floor, a well outside. But they are so joyful, they're so naturally happy by the surroundings. And so it always strikes me when I see that, and comparing the kind of condition they're living in compared to the West. Is the West would say, oh, these poor people, they don't even have air conditioning in the summer, no heater in the winter, they're poor, we have to do something to help them and all these things. But who are the people who are actually frustrated? So I was explaining to this girl, you see in the Western world, the more so-called progressive they are, the more advanced they are in so-called material civilization, the more frustrated people are. The more frustrated, you know. And that's why this psychiatrist, yeah, is a big industry for a lot of people. So many people have so many different mental problems. But these simple villagers, they don't have that problem. So that's the nature of this material world. It implicates us. The more we get involved with it, the more we become implicated. So the only way one has to perform yagya. Perform yagya and become free from the bondage of this material world. So although it may be recommended the Vedas, the Kamakanda, the different process of purification and so on, it may be good if one wants to have improved sense gratification. But then again, your sense gratification may improve, your material condition may improve, but that doesn't mean you become free from the implication of the material world. Even when one becomes elevated to the heavenly planet, there's still problems there in the heavenly planet. Maybe very, very little compared to us on the earth planet, but still is there. We read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods may be enjoying, but then the demons are always coming and interfering. The demons will come sometimes. Even Indra get kicked out from his kingdom. So the thing is that in the material world, there's no real happiness. That's the bottom line. And the Bhagavad Gita says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. From Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, down to the Indra Gopa, the small bacteria, still is a place of suffering. Because where repeated birth and death takes place. There's repeated birth and death. So this material world is like a quicksand. We are falling into this quicksand. The more we struggle, the more we get sucked in. The faster we get sucked in. Right? So this is nature of the material world. So, and people do not understand that. They do not understand, so they keep struggling. And they keep struggling and struggling, trying to mix, they make so many endeavors trying to become happy. And all they end up is just getting sucked deeper and deeper. I used to hear people telling me, sometimes the poor people, they may be broke, but they are small broke, small bankruptcy. And those so-called richer people, when they go broke, they're bigger. They go into bigger bankruptcy. There was this one lawyer I met, and he was telling how he had this nice house just behind Buckingham Palace in England. And everyone think of them as a very successful lawyer. They drive this big Mercedes Benz. He said, but I had this Mercedes Benz, but it's always parked in the garage because I can't afford to use it. I had this experience when I was in Malaysia. I bought a BMW, a 7 Series BMW, 735. And it was just parked in front of my garage so I can just only look at it. I can't afford it because the road tax was so high, too expensive. I could not afford to pay the road tax, so it was just parked there. In the end, I just had to get rid of it. So, people who are so-called successful, it externally may seem to be, but they are filled with worse problems. It's a big problem. So, therefore, recommended yagya is to perform. We have to perform yagya, sacrifices. But these sacrifices have to be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu. And when Vishnu is pleased, everyone becomes pleased. We can try to satisfy everyone individually, but that's not possible. Some people, out of sentiment, foolishness and sentiment, they think, yes, they call it in India, what do they call it? Narayan. Daridra Narayana, a poor Narayana. So we do welfare work for the individual and help. Or we try to love everyone. Some people that hug the trees, you know, they hug trees, they hug people. Try to give love to every individual. How can you do that to 6 billion people around the world? How many people can you embrace and hug? As Akrura is saying here, so you please come to my house and purify my home with the dust of your lotus feet. He said, by that act of purification, my forefathers, the sacrificial fires, and that demigods, you will all become satisfied automatically. And there's a nice story in the Mahabharata of how by satisfying Krishna, automatically everyone becomes satisfied. When the Pandavas were in exile in the forest, and as if that was not enough, Duryodhana was always thinking how to give them trouble in different ways. So one time, Duvasha Muni came to Hastinapur, and Duryodhana was receiving him very well. And after that, he said, well, you know, my cousins, they are in the forest, don't know how they're doing. So why don't you give them a visit? And you should go there at this particular time. So Duvasha Muni, when he travels, he don't travel alone. He traveled in an entourage of 60,000 disciples following him. And when the sadhu come to your house, you receive them very well. At least, if you cannot feed them, at least a glass of water, at least a place to sit. So when they came, and Maharaj Yudhishthira received them very well, his sweet words, and say, oh, please, you're going to perform your noon duties, take a bath in the river, and then come back, we'll have prasadam for you. He was very confident to feed all of them, because he know that Draupadi has a pot, he has a benediction, that as long as she has not eaten, that pot can create unlimited food. So he sent offering shell, and then went in, told Draupadi, please prepare some food for Duryodhana and his followers. And then Draupadi was like, oh no. He said, what happened? He said, well, this pot can produce as long as I've not eaten, but I've just eaten. And Duryodhana has timed it, that they come after that time. So they were in great distress. What to do now? Because Duryodhana is known to be easily pleased, but at the same time easily angered. So they were, and as devotees, when they're in distress, who do they call? Oh, Krishna, Krishna, please help us. And just at that time, Krishna came and walked into the house. He said, Draupadi, I'm very hungry. Please feed me. And that increases the distress of Draupadi even more. He said, first I cannot feed Draupadi, Duryodhana Muni and his followers, and now Krishna also I cannot feed. And he came in, he looked at the pot and took, saw the morsel of food and just popped into his mouth. He said, oh, now I'm so satisfied. And just at that moment when Krishna took that morsel of food, Duryodhana Muni was also feeling full and satisfied. And he thought, Maharaj Parishima has cooked such a big feast for us, and it would not be nice if we don't eat. So better we just leave and go away. And they just left without coming back. So in this way, Krishna saved the devotees. But if so, when Krishna became satisfied, everyone becomes satisfied. Because Krishna is within everyone's heart. He's sitting within everyone's heart, so when he's satisfied, then all the living entities become satisfied. So this is actually the key to unlock real happiness in this world, is to satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because by satisfying Krishna, everything automatically becomes adjusted. We may try to perform this sacrifice for this particular purpose, perform that sacrifice for that purpose. So many sacrifices we have to perform. And especially when we perform sacrifices for the demigods, and just like in the olden days, they perform yajna and they offer oblations to the sacrificial fire, and they have to offer oblations for each of the demigod. Om Indraya Namaha, Om Visaya, and that's Isaya. So many. And how many lakhs of demigods are there? Some say it's 3 lakh, 30 lakh, but it's anyway a lot. Many, many demigods. And what happens when you miss out one? And especially that one is a very major demigod. Not all heaven is there. When Daksha performed the sacrifice, of course he purposely left out the oblation for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva became angry by the insult. He created a demon. And with all the cause, they went and destroyed the whole sacrificial arena. And not only that, broke the leg of one of the sages, broke his teeth, and cut off the head of Daksha. And later was replaced with a goat's head. So they see what happened when we do that. But when we offer oblations to Krishna, or we perform yajna for the satisfaction of Krishna, then when Krishna becomes satisfied, then all perfection is there. All perfection is there. So in this age of Kali, what is the yajna? Sankirtan yajna. Very simple. Because otherwise, what other yajna can we perform? We are not qualified to perform the Vedic sect, all these Vedic yajnas recommended in the previous ages. Because in those yajnas, you have to have like practically mountain of ghee, mountains of grains, so much ghee, so much grains you have to offer. And all the utensils that was used were all gold and silver. And these plates, these utensils are used only once. Imagine all these gold and silver utensils used only once and then they're distributed. Now sometimes people use plastic plates also, they have to wash and keep for second time. How poor we are compared to previous time. And then the chanting of the mantras has to be chanted perfectly. It's just like when I can't remember the name of this king. He performed the yajna to create a living being entity to become the enemy of Indra, Vritrasura. But the mantra was chanted just wrong. It was supposed to be, I don't know, long, but it was short or something like that. Something else came out. So a different result came out. Although he was fighting with Indra, but became slightly different results. So this mantra has to also be chanted properly. That's why when they perform this Go Yajna or Ashwamedha Yajna, sometimes they say, oh, in previous time they also kill animals. But actually, by the chanting of the mantra, the cow will take on a new life, get a younger body. Just to show that the mantras were all chanted perfectly, everything was done properly. So this was then. So nowadays, even though we may be doing different yajnas and all that, but we always accompany the yajna with Sankirtan yajna, because that is the yajna for this age. Even when Prabhupada was installing the opening of the Vrindavan temple, it was such a big event, and we had to spend so much time to invite all these local brahmanas to come and do the ceremony and so on and so forth. But Prabhupada instructed the devotees to have Harinam Sankirtan, to perform Yang Sankirtan throughout the whole installation. And later on in his room he commented, I consider that as the real installation, the Harinam Sankirtan. But yet, you still have to invite all of them to do the whole, otherwise they will not consider it as a bona fide temple. So this, the process of sacrifice in this age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by performing of this Sankirtan Yajna, Krishna become pleased. I was just, actually today's instruction, proper instruction, proper meditation, today's meditation. They say that when we perform chanting, it may not be the exact word, but when we're chanting, it is meant to glorify Krishna, not to attract a big crowd. Say, but when we chant for the glorification of Krishna, Krishna become pleased, he will send some sincere soul to hear the chanting. So when we do Harinam, it's not just to do it in a way that it attract big crowd. No, we're doing Harinam to glorify Krishna. And when Krishna pleased, he will send some sincere soul to hear the chanting. And in this way, we become benefited. In the same thing when we do book distribution. We're going out on book distribution to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to distribute His mercy. So if we are sincere, and Krishna become pleased by our endeavor, become pleased by our attitude of devotion, He will send some sincere soul to receive the book from us, to receive the mercy. There are so many people out there who are ready, who are desperate, desperately looking for Krishna, but they do not know it. They do not know what they're looking for, but they're searching, they're looking. And so if we are sincere, we go out and preach, Krishna will direct. He'll make this connection. He'll connect all these people with the preacher. In this way, as preachers, we are just acting as a via media in which the mercy of Krishna flows through. So this performance of Sankirtan Yajna is very, very important. In Kali Yuga, there may be so many faults, There's so many faults. Manda, samanda, mataya, manda, bhagya, upajita. We're lazy. By nature, we're lazy. We will not make any endeavor if we don't have to. We are slow. Intelligence, we are not very intelligent, although people want to think that we are at the epitome of the human civilization now. We are very advanced. Look at all the technology that is there. Memory is short. We are not very good at remembering things. And especially as we get older, our memory will start to fade. And I begin to realize that how my memory is just not as it used to be. In the younger days, my devotee is amazed with the memory. I can remember when I was a Sankirtan leader, I can remember even 1 year, 2 years back, this particular devotee was in this particular village, this three books, and this particular incident happened. How many books he distributed in that place, and can remember all these things. But now, it's not even a fraction of that. So, this is Kali Yuga. And so, even despite all these faults, there's one good thing. That just by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, one can achieve all perfection. In fact, one can achieve perfection that is not even attainable by people in previous ages performing severe austerities for a long, long time. It's not even available to them. So this is actually, although on one hand, the climate that we're living in is not very conducive for spiritual life, but on the other hand, the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so wonderful that just by taking it up seriously, one can surpass anything that is available in previous ages. This is a great benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the benediction moon. Therefore, it's stated that anyone who has a little bit of intelligence, will worship Krishna, who has appeared, but not in the black and the golden form, surrounded by his associates, by performing Sankirtan. Yagyai Sankirtan Tayai Yajantihi Sumedasa. Sumedasa. Anyone who has a bit sumedas, a bit of intelligence, they will worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associate, the Panchatattva. So that's why very appropriate when we finally installed Panchatattva in Mayapur 2 years ago. So many of the leaders were saying they could feel that something wonderful is going to happen with the appearance of Panchatattva. How the world will gradually become inundated by this Sankirtan movement. So the whole purpose of all sacrifices is actually to please Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, I say Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Parayagya. All these activities that one is performing, ultimately is meant to satisfy Vasudeva or to realize Vasudeva or to please him. Otherwise, all our activities, if it's not meant for satisfaction, for the satisfaction of Krishna, then it's all Shrama Eva Kevalam. Become useless labor. Just waste of time. Because any activity that is not connected with Krishna for the satisfaction of Krishna will just entangle us in this material world. We think by engaging in these activities will give me happiness, but actually give us the opposite result. It's interesting how this word, sukha dukkha, sometimes in Sanskrit is such an intelligent language. Sukha is happiness, dukkha, misery. How similar they are, sukha dukkha. So we will be looking for sukha, but we always end up with dukkha. End up with dukkha. So this tradition of of Akrura, inviting Krishna to his home or inviting Sadhu to his home is a very old tradition, because everyone, the people who are familiar with Vedic culture, they understand by inviting Krishna or inviting the devotees to their home, it purifies the house. They make whatever sacrifices they are performing, make it perfect. That's why they, especially in India, they like to invite sadhus home and like to feed them. Actually, when you eat at the house of the householder, by eating there, actually you're freeing them from the reaction. Now, when Sri Prabhupada first came back to India, preaching in India, and we didn't have any temple. So the main preaching was eating. The best preacher were the one who eat the most. Because Prabhupada would be invited to different homes and all his disciples were following him. And these people love to feed. And Prabhupada would be asking the devotees, just eat, eat, eat. And by eating that, the people become happy and become life members. And this way gradually they're supporting. But Prabhupada was very expert at how to just get away by just eating a little bit. Maybe just some milk. But sometimes this kind of preaching, we make it so sick. So sick, you become so sick. I remember one time in Copenhagen when Dhanuddha Maharaj came visited, and he knew someone from the Indian embassy. And a mother, before that person was in the embassy in Pakistan, was helping the devotees a lot to get their visa. And his visa expired in India, came there, Pakistan, get renewed visa. So he invited us to his home. And we came, we did some ketan, pravachan, and we ate there. We took some prasad there. And then next day, both of us, we were so wiped out. We were just feeling like, just very tired. And he commented, he said, yes, it's from there. Yesterday's prasadam we had there, taking on some karma. So we have to be careful also when we preach. So it's a very nice thing in Malaysia. We had a very strict rule. They do a lot of home program, but they make it clear to everyone that we take only food that is cooked by initiated devotee. So they know, just like recently they just completed a home program, 1,500 home programs in the month of Kartik. That's a lot of programs, average 50 programs a day. Previously we were doing a few hundred programs, but it was more like a complete program, 1 hour, 2 hour program. And they will have a few caterers, devotee caterers. So what they do is that people want to do a program, they will arrange with one of these caterers and they will provide prasadam in the home. Simple, not complicated, so anyone can afford it, but it's just simple catering. So they make it clear. And I also, I remember also when we started preaching to the Indians in Copenhagen, I was always trying to how to break into the Indian community. So at one time we had one devotee from Calcutta, he came and stayed with us. And then he was invited to the home program. I followed, and he made it clear right from the beginning that you eat only food cooked by Brahmins, but you can offer us the hot milk and some fruits and nuts. So we are doing program every fortnight. That was my Sunday feast: fruits and nuts. So he's doing, and after he left, we continue in that mood. So that was actually protection. But some, I know some devotees, they don't do that. They just do program and they go and whatever they cook. Sometimes they're vegetarian, sometimes they're not. And yeah, we can take risk for Krishna, but at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't take on too much and burden ourselves. So when we're preaching, we also have to be intelligent. So So and these people, they know, the white sadhus come to the home, eat, and they know they're freeing themselves, they're getting themselves purified. That's why the sadhus nowadays, when they travel, they just stay long enough in the place just to get some milk and they move on. So when the sadhus come to the house, it's not because they are hungry. It's not because they are hungry, they come, if there's nothing to eat, they come, it's, oh, it's so good, you invite me to your home to eat. But actually, when the sadhu visit the house of home of the householder, it's meant to purify them, to give them some instruction to purify them. So it is for the benefit of the householder to invite the sadhus to their home to take prasadam, because in this way their home become purified and all the, whatever activities they're performing become purified. In this way Krishna becomes satisfied. Sometimes brahmanas they take that statement to the limit, that brahmanas are eating on behalf of Vishnu. And you see these brahmanas are all pretty chubby, and you ask them, you say, "Oh, you're so chubby." You say, "Oh, I'm brahmana, I'm eating on behalf of Vishnu. I'm chubby." So anyway, the aim is, I said, yajna has to be performed, and yajna means satisfaction of Vishnu. Thank you very much. Any one question or comment?